at least 10 that weren't here last week. And this is an extensive teaching. The Lord woke me up in the night, and I began getting a download. The foundational scripture is Genesis 26, which talks about the Philistines filling in the wells that Abraham had dug in the land. And then subsequently, Isaac, his son, redigs the wells, and there's contention, there's hostility. But finally, the final well, they named Rehoboth, which means God has finally given, it means broad places. And at last, the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. Speaking of the promise to Abraham in Genesis 17:6, where he said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations to come from you, and kings will come forth from you. So that's the backdrop of that, and the principle here is, in the New Testament, John 7:38, Jesus says, to him who believes in me, from that life shall flow rivers of living water. And even though there's, you know, as Christians, you know, life isn't always a bowl of cherries, it isn't always, you know, celebrating time, we have to go through some things, but they are designed and custom made by the Lord to form the character of Christ in us. And so even though John 10:10, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so that's the backdrop for this teaching, and the Lord began to speak to me various things that are hindrances in our lives to being fruitful for the Lord and for his kingdom. So hindrances to fruitfulness would be the umbrella of the teaching here. We talked last week about doubt being one of those things. Secondly, distractions in our life. And third, deception. So you can go back and revisit the teaching on the Facebook site or on the website. And I encourage you to do so, but I also encourage you to go back and read that Genesis 26, 15, verse 15 to 23. It's very eye-opening because we're in a season where God wants to open up the wells. You know, when we received Christ, there was a deposit, there was a transaction from heaven in us. And we each carry a measure of Christ. That's the living water. And the world wants to stuff it down and snuff it out. And our job is to always remain above that, getting God's perspective and being the victorious men and women of God that he saved us to be. Amen? So, we'll go for another 15 or 20 minutes or so. But the next thing that plugs your well, if you allow it to, stops the flow of that living water, is discouragement. And honestly, that is probably one of the number one things as a Christian, one of the number one things that we struggle with. When things don't go the way we expect them to, or when there's a delay in answer to prayer, or even the answer doesn't come when or how we think it we want it to. And so discouragement means lacking courage or confidence, to be even depressed or disheartened or in despair or frustrated. And we ought not to stay there. That's the thing. God has made a provision for us to rise above yes, we will at times get discouraged, but we shouldn't stay there. And we have the power to not stay there. And so discouragement can set in after a loss, maybe of a loved one or some other kind of loss, a setback, or when we have a failure, when we do our best and for some reason we don't experience success, or things don't work out the way we expected. Discouragement can want to take hold and lead us astray, if you will. And, you know, we have a ready-made friend. His name is Jesus. The Bible says we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. But, you know, if you're like me at times, I want to see if I can do it somehow. I can rise above. I can push my way through this. How's that working out? Not too well in the long run. We may have some short-term results, but in the end, God wants us to rely exclusively and totally on Him, on His grace, on His strength, on the provision of Jesus Christ Himself. And so, we see throughout the Bible, it's not some isolated instance. In the Old Testament, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, when they were rebuilding the temple, it says, adversaries arose to hinder the work. The people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and frightened them from building, and even hired counselors to frustrate the work. And, you know, don't be naive. But the way I look at it is when I get resistance, that's a good thing, because I'm heading in the right direction. And I want to be smart. I want to be vigilant in my prayer life and in my willingness to humble myself before the Lord and bring my concerns, bring my cares to Him. Even it says in Peter, and I'm not going according to script. This is not a day to go according to script. Peter said, cast your cares upon Him. Because why? He cares for you. That means release those things. Don't dwell on them. Don't hold on to those things that will only drag you down and bear absolutely no fruit. In fact, it'll short circuit your fruitfulness, and it'll prolong that discouragement that we sometimes face. So that was one instance in rebuilding the temple, Nehemiah chapter 4, 9, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The work was ridiculed. You know, you're not always going to be accepted when you speak the truth. I got news for you. That shouldn't stop us. We have the very words of life. We carry the power of Jesus Christ, the power to change a life for eternity. And we don't have to make any apology or be bashful, but yeah, we are going to be ridiculed at times. I've experienced that. But that doesn't stop me from obeying the Holy Spirit the next time I'm challenged. Amen? And so they were ridiculed. And this is what it says in Nehemiah 4:9. But we prayed to our God and set up a guard, both a physical and a spiritual guard. You see, it's a twofer. It's a two-pronged attack. They did it in the natural, physically, but they also, in the spirit, prepared themselves to come against the enemy. They set up a guard against them. And Nehemiah 6:9, the enemy used fear, thinking they would be discouraged with the work and it wouldn't get done. God has given us a mission here. God has planted, not people. God planted this house. God has a purpose for this house. And God has an anointing on this house. And you and I need to come alongside and partner with him and not allow discouragement, not looking at empty chairs, not looking at who's not here, but praying in the very lives that God wants to change and to touch in our communities. That's our mission. Not to have, oh, we love this worship, we're comfortable, we like things this way. Those things are great. But we can be misled and are lulled to sleep. Come on, I'm speaking the truth here. And we're living in a time where we cannot afford to be asleep. We need to be vigilant. We need to be available and come against those things that would discourage us in our faith. I love this verse in Joshua 1:9 where God himself said, "Have I not commanded you?" And God would say that to us today, I believe, when he was saying that today was a day of breakthrough, he was alluding to this very attitude of faith. And God said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed or be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so it's saying to stand in faith. Don't, you know, so we could be so easily swayed by what we see. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by what we see. That's how we fight discouragement. Gird up our loins of faith and just walk it out. You know, the Bible says to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means it's not necessarily going to be an easy journey. But it does also mean that God is with us. God is for us, and he will back us up. So we need to turn to prayer, turn to God's word, turn to God's promises when we get discouraged. And you won't remain there. You can't remain there when you start filling your spiritual vessel with his word and with his promises, reminding yourself how good God has been, how faithful God has been. And we won't stay discouraged. Galatians 6:9, "In due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." See, the devil wants to wear you out. That's his mission. He'll keep staying at it, but when you start speaking the word and you start standing on God's promises and standing in faith, he'll go bother somebody else. Because he'll realize he's wasting his time. He's not going to make headway. You're going to refuse to believe the lies of the enemy. And you will reap. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain." Even if you don't see immediate results. And see, here's the issue. We've been brought up in a society of instant gratification. So we want, when we, you know, God asks us to do something, we want, oh yeah, we want immediate results. Doesn't always work that way. God wants to test you. God wants to prove you. God wants to grow you up. And that's what we're experiencing in this hour, is growing pains. Myself included. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at myself. We all have room to grow in our faith. But we have to make a decision to not allow discouragement to plug the life flow that is within us. Always be ready to report for duty. What do you have for me to do today, Lord? Who do you have for me to see or speak a word to or encourage? And is that always easy? Well, maybe you need a cup of coffee first. I don't know. Sometimes that's what I need before I get my get up and go, got up and went. But, you know, don't make your own plans. Ask the Lord what His plan is. And come against discouragement. All right, let's do number five. I know none of you have ever experienced this. It's called disappointment. Disappointment can plug up that well and actually stop the life-giving flow from your life, that living water that it talks about in John 7:38. And I found something interesting here in my study. Both in the Old and the New Testament, that word disappointment, the root meaning is ashamed or disgrace, to be disgraced, to feel disgrace. In other words, the enemy wants you to feel diminished, not for you to realize who you are in Christ. The power you have in your life, the word of life that you carry, the power of the blood of Christ that's in you to change your world and to minister to people and help them out of their disappointment. So sometimes disappointment arises when we fail to come up to the expectation or hope that we had, or we're frustrated. It just didn't work out the way we thought. And quite honestly, more than once, I thought God said one thing, but actually He said something else. And so when I continued to bring that before Him, not in a, you know, disrespectful way, but Lord, help me understand here. I thought I was doing what You were requiring of me, and yet I faced disappointment. My expectations weren't met, but the thing is, were His expectations met? What was He doing in the larger scope of things? And what's the remedy for disappointment? Renewed hope and renewed vision, fresh vision, coming into before the Lord, coming into His presence, and allowing Him to fill you afresh with His love, with His hope, with His very life. And from that point comes fresh vision, a new outlook, God's perspective. Now you see things in a different way, because you've submitted to Him and come into His presence. It says, and I got this verse this morning that apparently Holy Spirit wanted to add to this. You know, He can always add to what you have. You think you have whatever you heard, but 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. In other words, using it for our own purposes and incorrectly. Not adulterating God's word, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's called practicing the truth. It's called living in the truth. Psalms 22, verse 5. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. See, that's the source. That's where to go. When we feel that we're coming to a roadblock, that's just a temporary setback, is what disappointment is. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, quoting Isaiah 28:16, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Whoever. I see a lot of whoever's out here this morning. And some online watching and later watching. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Romans 5:5. And hope in God does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That love changes you. And a few weeks back, we talked about what happens when our love tank gets empty. We're not fun to be around. It should be a sign to us that we're not going to the Lord and allowing him to touch us and renew us, renew our hope, renew our vision, to refresh us and reinvigorate our faith. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So again, it's a deliberate choice to refocus on him, on his love, on his word, and turn to worship and prayer. You know, your whole outlook on any given day and any given situation without exception will change when you give it to the Lord in prayer and worship. The light comes on in Marblehead when we humble ourselves in prayer and in worship. And our outlook, our whole perspective will come into alignment with God's perspective. And things will change because the psalmist said, Psalms 36, verse 4, for with you is the fountain of light, and in your light we see light. What it's saying there is we see things correctly, not how things may appear. See, that's the challenge. But how they really are. And only God can give us that perspective. And so, don't allow disappointment. You will have disappointments in life. Yeah, sure. But don't allow it to stay there and get a grip on you and influence you and stop the flow of that living water, that precious living water that God has given to every blood-bought believer. So I think we'll stop there today. That's point number 5. I have at least 12 points. So we're going to go for a while. We may stop and interject something else. But God has given me a very extensive download here. The things we have to be aware of in this hour, in this day. You know, I want to partner with God, and I want to be victorious and triumph with God over my foe. What does the Bible say? He has put who? Under whose feet? I always thought it said the enemy was under the Lord's feet. No, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says he has put the enemy under whose feet? Your feet. So we need to start acting like it and living like it. To God be the glory for great things he has done. Amen?
Amen.
So that's a little